The opening of the circle life is in Zulu, the language of the Zulu people. It's spoken by over 10 million people, including 95% of South Africa.
Okay, do you want to know what they're actually saying? They're actually saying, there comes a lion. Oh, yes, it's a lion. There comes a lion. Oh, yes, it's a lion. We're going to conquer. It's a lion and a tiger. Sikutwa Asana. I don't think that translates.
You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we feel like talking about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We do have some topics that we want to share with you, but that doesn't prevent us from going off the rails.
That's
on
right.
This crazy podcast.
This crazy train.
Yep. Before we hit the ground running, one thing I want to say is that this is our Thanksgiving episode. This episode
yeah.
comes out Thanksgiving. So, yeah. Wow. All right. A sound effect.
As you can tell, my voice.
A sound effect. I didn't
is
even,
back in full effect.
I didn't even press anything.
And yeah, I can just be the soundboard for you.
There you go. Awesome.
I didn't know I could do. You know what? Today, earlier, I was thinking, oh, today's going to be the Thanksgiving episode. I wonder if I can do a turkey noise, you know, because my voice hasn't been
yeah.
there. But I just did
I
it twice.
I think you sound pretty good. I think
yeah.
you're back in 100% strength.
I think so. I think I'm like 98, 99%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can do a turkey. And yeah. that's really the
test. Yeah.
Before every episode, you're like, Mike, can you do the turkey noise? That's every episode, not just this episode.
Right. Never know yeah. when we need a turkey.
You never know.
So
that's the only time I ever do that, but you never know.
So,
bust it out at any time.
So I feel like...
Let me hear your turkey, though.
I don't know.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
So between the
we're
two...
We're just a couple of turkeys here on the Crispy Noodle. The payoff, it was worth it, wasn't it? It was worth it. It was worth it.
Yeah.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Yeah, so sorry about that. But nevertheless, want to say a happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving all to everyone out
yeah.
there.
Hope you guys got an extra day off from work or whatever you're doing. And
you're spending it eating turkey and
listening to the Christmas
pumpkin pie and listening to us ramble on.
Sure, why not?
Watch some football, have some good food, have some good laughs.
Yeah.
That's what Thanksgiving's all about.
And listening to our hilarious podcast.
Of course. Well, that's what's giving them all the laughs.
Yeah.
When you're sitting down, you know, and everyone's like, what are you thankful for this year? Say, I'm thankful for the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Take a listen. And you hit play, and everyone is just enraptured by the melodious sounds of our voices. And they just... They can't focus on their food. The food falls out of their mouth because they're just entranced by the voodoo quality of our magical sound.
Nezhni obosoda rova vitel nezimzumu. Just like that.
Hypnotic.
Bam, right there.
Hypnotic. We got him.
That clip will do it.
That'll do it, man.
That one.
Whew.
You know. Either that or your Lion King singing will do that.
Oh, yeah.
So one of the two will do it. So, yeah, happy Thanksgiving to all you guys out there, and hope you guys are getting a little bit of a break. Let's delve into the introduction here. I got a couple things that I want to run down here. I know Mike's
yeah.
laughing at me because I did not prepare
because you're
this.
Like, introduction?
Yes.
Usually you're really prepared.
Yes, because... You know what? I'm taking the introduction by the horns here.
Okay.
Because there's something else that I want to get off my chest, and that is the annual Camp Out for Hunger.
Oh, that's a big one.
Yeah. It's next week, right after Thanksgiving. If you're in the Philadelphia area, you have to come by Xfinity Live and check it out. It's this huge canned food donation drive. I work for MMR on the side. And this is one event, like, I just block out time for because it's so worth it.
It's for all, a great cause.
Yeah,
too.
Great cause. All the food and money donations goes to PhilAbundance, which helps feed those in need right here in Philadelphia. It's actually now, I'm pretty sure I can say it, it's now the largest single food donation collection in the country.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, I know it was one of the biggest in the area, but in the whole country.
Yeah, in the whole country.
That's something to really be proud of.
Yeah.
You know, because
we do it here in Philly.
I mean,
all right? Take that, L.A., New York, Dallas.
What does L.A. have on Philly? Come on now.
Yeah, you guys suck.
Yeah.
We have the largest food, single event food donation.
We're the city of brotherly love.
Yeah.
So there you go. We're helping out the people that need it most. That's fantastic. Yeah. That's awesome.
So it's, in my opinion, it's worth your time to stop by Xfinity Live down in South Philly and check it out sometime next week. And I will be there. So if you're down there, say hi to me. okay, so there you go. I think that takes care of everything I wanted to say in the introduction. Mike, is there anything you want to say? How was your weekend? What did you do?
It was good. I actually went to a gender reveal party.
What?
Yeah, I know. It sounds really weird. It sounds really weird saying it.
A gender reveal party.
Yeah, so my cousin's wife is pregnant. Congratulations. Well, no, I've already said congratulations.
That was so just nonchalant. Well, yeah, congratulations.
Well, because people listening, they're like, I don't know these people.
Oh, look, you're having a baby.
No, like, it is
the other 2 million women in the world right now.
No,
congratulations.
It is really exciting.
Just, you know, natural part of life. All right, congratulations.
It's just nature taking its
course.
Yeah,
very nonchalant.
It's not that special. Come on, yeah. No, it is awesome. It's going to be my cousin's third kid.
Yeah, it's your third kid.
It's your third. Yeah, we already did this twice.
Yeah, no big whoop. What do you want, a gift?
but anyway, so they had this, joking aside, they had this gender reveal party, and I've never been to one of these things. This is a totally foreign concept to me. But basically, they get the results of, I guess, like the ultrasound or whatever that reveals what the baby's sex is, and they don't look at it. Instead, they give it to a baker.
Because who else would you trust with your medical information?
Of course. You know what's going to be funny is I want to see in like 6 months, it's like the wrong, the baker like got it wrong or, you know, whatever.
Wait. So here's what happens. In your mind.
They give the results to the baker and the baker.
No, not the results. Just the ultrasound information.
Well, I don't know what they give to the baker. I don't know what they gave to the baker. I'm assuming.
I didn't know bakers also had to be an expert.
You
on
have
pregnancy.
To have a PhD. Yeah, you have to be. Yeah. You have to be what, an OBGYN?
Yeah,
or whatever does the pregnancy stuff.
Right.
I don't know what I'm talking about. You have to be an expert. You have to. I don't know an expert or what, but you got to be an expert.
Yes. I went to culinary school and got my doctorate.
I got my doctorate at the
University of Chicago.
I have a doctorate in icing and a doctorate in medicine. So you know,
perfect.
Very well-rounded individual.
I studied with Gordon Ramsay and Cook County Hospital. What?
Oh, yeah. I have no idea what I'm saying. Like this shows how little information I actually have about this. But they get the results. I don't know what results. Like Maury-esque results where it's like in the envelope, right? And they give it to the baker, and the baker is supposed to bake a cake, and the inside has icing, blue for boy and pink for girl. And so the whole party, you're like, oh, what's it going to be? Is it going to be a boy or a girl? And then they cut open the cake, and that's the reveal. It's like, oh, it's a big surprise for everyone because they didn't know, we didn't know. So everybody found out together. There was a bunch of people there. It's going to be a boy. See, this is what I'm thinking. What if the baker gets it wrong? What happens if they mix it up?
He didn't read the charts correctly.
Or what happens if they just forgot? And they were supposed to put pink icing, and they put blue icing.
Oh.
Wouldn't that be funny?
The baker loses his license.
Wait, he can't practice medicine anymore.
Or baking.
He shouldn't be practicing medicine in the bakery in the first place. You get the cake and then you like get your patient up there like on the same table. It's like, doctor, I don't know about this. Ah, it's fine.
It's fine, yeah.
It's fine.
I'm getting getting the batter mixed up.
I don't know, something about that is just really wrong. Just like, yeah. Anyway,
yeah,
doctor, that's not the ultrasound gel. Quiet. That sucked.
Okay,
but
so there you go.
Anyway, so that's what I did.
Perfect. Excellent weekend. Good report.
Excellent weekend. Yeah, thanks.
Good report, Mike.
Yeah.
Were you up to anything? Did you go to any gender reveal parties?
No, I didn't go to any gender reveal parties. I did go to a Friendsgiving party, which...
That's cool. That's like a new thing like that people this. Do, right?
Yeah. Like, because, you know, obviously, you know, today or this weekend, you're getting together with your family
right.
for Thanksgiving. So that's like your family and stuff. But then, like, yeah, Friendsgiving is like you invite your friends and...
You have,
know,
like, a Thanksgiving for...
Yeah, just your friends. Yeah. And you can tell all the dirty jokes that you want to without any sort of you don't being judged.
You don't tell dirty jokes at your family gatherings?
You do, but there's always, like, that... There's always that, like, air of just, like, I don't know, like, your older aunt's going to be like, really?
You wow, know? Really? My aunt is the one telling the jokes. Oh, right. Honestly, one time we went shopping for like a birthday card.
I always feel like there's one person in the family that judges. Like,
yeah, there's always one person that doesn't.
I thought
like
you
the
were.
Jokes.
Yeah, I thought you were better than that. You know.
See, my family is like there's always one person who like it's not their type of humor, and they're always like, and they get like all flustered. But like, everybody else is pretty chill about it. But anyway, back to Friendsgiving. How does the food compare between? You know, the family Thanksgiving and the Friendsgiving.
Of course you would ask about the food.
Of course I would.
Well, no, it's great. And it, I'll tell you what, it's great when you have a lot of food and you have a lot of booze.
Because is that the main difference?
Because you know what's funny? And I think my friend will back me up on this. He said that he ended up with the same amount of booze from the start of the party to the end of the party. Meaning that we all came, we all drank, but everybody's, like, gift of choice was booze.
Everybody brings a bottle of something, right? Yeah.
And we all just drank it, and the end result was...
Broke even.
Yeah, we broke even. So
it's a win-win.
Yeah, we all got drunk and hammered, and he didn't lose any alcohol out there of it. Yay! It's a Thanksgiving miracle!
Oh, my gosh. The giant, what is it, Charlie Brown, the Great Turkey, or the Giant Pumpkin or something?
Giant Pumpkin is Halloween.
I don't know.
I don't,
anyway, it was a miracle.
Yeah. It's a miracle, all
the
right?
The pilgrims and the Indians came together, and they brought...
shared alcohol.
And they brought booze.
Yeah.
You know that's what the first Thanksgiving was all about, probably.
Like, booze.
This godforsaken land, we need something to forget all of our woes. And the Native Americans were like, oh, here, take this, get hammered.
I think it's the other way.
Wow.
Yeah, I almost knocked my microphone.
Apparently, the alcohol hasn't worn off. It's just like punching the microphone.
I think it's the other way around. I think
the pilgrims gave the Native Americans.
Yeah,
okay.
I think. I don't know. It's
been
a
while. Distract them from stealing all the land.
Probably.
Controversy.
But
anyway.
There you go. That's what we did over the past weekend. And yeah, hopefully you guys are having fun on this Thanksgiving weekend. But now, with all that out of the way, I think I hit all the topics that I wanted to. I hope I did, or else we're going to run off the rails.
I'm sure we'll circle back at some point.
Yeah. But for now, I think it's time to delve into our first batch of topics. Folks, it's time for the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face! Ha ha!
Yeah, sports coming at you in your face in the sports sampler, and we are kicking it off with our quick 2-minute drill. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right, let's launch it and go, Mike. What do you got?
All right, well, this week in the 2-minute drill, we have some football news.
No, really?
Yeah, I know. It's a shocker. in the 2-minute drill, this was recently announced, Eagles great safety Brian Dawkins is one of 26 semifinalists for the Football Hall of Fame class of 2017. Of course, Dawkins, as we know, revolutionized the defensive side of the game with his versatility, often playing many different roles. He would blitz, he would cover, he would play the run. He did everything. In fact, he's the only player in NFL history to record a fumble recovery, an interception, a sack, and a touchdown reception in a single game.
Wow.
If that's not versatile, I don't know what is.
Well, he's the man.
We grew up watching Dawkins.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
Easily my favorite Eagles player of all time.
He was the man, Weapon X.
I think if he doesn't make the Hall of Fame...
It's a shame.
It's a shame. It's a rigged. I don't know what else
it's
to
a
say.
Rigged?
It's a rigged.
It's
yeah.
a rigged.
It's
okay.
a rigged. Yes.
Okay. All right.
It's a rigged. It's a... I don't know what it is. It's a rigged Hall of Fame.
All right, move
anyway,
on.
Anyway, the first overall pick...
It's a rig!
It's a rig. The first overall pick... Well, this... just got so far off the rails. First overall pick quarterback Jared Goff made his NFL debut for the LA Rams. Despite the benefit of starting at home against the Miami Dolphins, Goff had pedestrian numbers, completing only 17 of his 31 attempts and throwing no touchdowns or interceptions, earning him a subpar quarterback rating of 65. And he only threw for 130 yards. I mean, is this first overall stats? I don't think so.
Yeah, but, you know, it was against the Dolphins, which is actually a decent defense, and the Rams coaching staff sucks.
They really do.
I don't like Jeff Fisher.
We were talking, Jeff Fisher, I think he convinced everyone he was good when he's really not.
Nope, 500 record at best. Yeah, screw Jeff Fisher. How the hell does that guy have a job?
Yeah, I mean, it's shocking, though, because everybody's like, oh, Jeff Fisher. But, like, what did he do?
Yeah.
Like, nothing.
No.
Like, think
of, 1 year he went to the Super Bowl, right, and he didn't win it.
Right, but everybody knows the name Jeff Fisher, and they revere him as a coach, but he hasn't done anything.
Yeah.
Like, Chip Kelly won more games.
Well, I don't think
an Eagles coach.
Yeah, wait. Let's not get that far.
He was above 500.
Well, the one... Oh, yeah.
10-6, 10-6.
Yeah, that's right. You had two seasons.
Chip Kelly was a better head coach than Jeff Fisher.
You might, I don't know.
10-6, 10-6.
We'll have to
and
check
what
the numbers.
What was his final, what was his third year?
I don't know, because they got fired too before seven the season ended.
Seven and...
I don't know. We'll have to check the numbers.
We'll crunch the numbers. We'll probably get it wrong.
I can't math.
I can't math. Can you?
Not during Thanksgiving.
Between Friendsgiving and Thanksgiving, the alcohol is just nonstop this entire week.
I almost knocked the microphone off the stand.
He has an IV of alcohol pumping straight into his veins right now.
I need it.
Last week we blamed the drugs. This week we're going to blame
the booze.
Yeah.
And the turkey.
And the too much turkey. Makes you sleepy.
All right.
Anyway, well, we have a couple of interesting topics to get to here. One that you brought to my attention concerning the biggest name in basketball, LeBron James.
Yeah. I know we usually are a big football-centric block here on the Sports Sampler.
But we're taking a detour.
Yeah. And
why?
I like this.
Why do we have to talk about LeBron James? What is he doing?
Because I saw this news article that came up in the previous week. And that was LeBron James sat out during the second game of a back-to-back two-game night. I mean, well, it was two different nights, but the point was it was back-to-back, no day off in between the two games.
Okay.
And because of that, the coaching staff decided to bench LeBron James. And when I mean bench, I mean like he wasn't even asked to suit up. He showed up to the second game of this back-to-back home series in a full suit. Like, he didn't even dress up in the uniform. So, Joe, it bothered me on two fronts. I mean, first off, if you're a paying fan, let's take it from the consumer point of view, all right? Oh, look, a Cavaliers game. I could go see LeBron James. That's your big draw.
Yeah.
You're seeing this team.
You're taking your kid to see his favorite sports icon.
Yeah.
You know? Or you're like an 11, 12-year-old kid getting to see, you know, your first game. And LeBron's sitting on the bench.
And this stupid coach, Tyronn Lue, decided to, take the load off, James. You're fine. I'm not going to put you in. I get the fact that, like, LeBron James is obviously your centerpiece, and if something happens to him, your season's screwed, and then everyone's going to be like, oh, why'd you play him so long? I mean, so I get, like...
But isn't he expected to play?
Yeah, he's expected. Oh, yes, he's expected to play. But...
I don't know why I'm feeding your argument.
Yeah, I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. I understand you don't want to overexert him. You don't want to tire him out. You don't want to risk injury and everything. But this is seriously, we're in the first quarter of the NBA season.
Yeah, how many games in are we?
12, 13 games,
and they're already sitting him for games.
Yeah. Like, hello, this is not like the end part of the NBA season where you've clinched a playoff spot. Okay, you want to get ready for the playoffs. I could understand that. This is the first quarter of the NBA season, and the Cleveland Cavaliers apparently are just fine with just, you know, benching their star player and just be like, all right, fine, take the night off. I don't care.
I think they know they're fine in terms of where their record is going to be. And so they figure, you know, I guess it just goes to show you how pompous they are, really. The fact that they can be like, oh, we're going to be there in the end, so we don't need to worry about these games in between.
But that shouldn't be, because a game, a season game in the beginning of the season should weigh just as much as a game during the middle of the season and as a game at the end of the season.
But, I mean, at the end of the day, though, it is a viable strategy. You want to rest him for the big matchups, the long road series.
You're resting him this early?
I mean, why not? The season's long enough. I mean, this is my perspective. This reminds me of the NFL when they would sit starters like the last 2-3 weeks.
Yes, at the end of the season, I get it. You've clinched a playoff spot. You don't want to risk injury. This is the first quarter of the season.
Why does it matter when it comes? They can sprinkle it throughout the season.
No. Let's put it in your terms. Put it in football terms.
Yeah, help me understand.
Let's say the Eagles started off this season hot. They were 2-0, right?
Right.
Imagine in the third week against the Steelers, they told Carson Wentz, you know what? We're going to need you later in the game. We're going to bench you for week 3 and 4. What?
Okay, well,
you would be against that. Come on.
I would. No, you're right. I would be against it. But here's the thing. The NFL season is only 16 games. Basketball, they've got 82 games to play. So if they end up sitting him a handful of games, they can sprinkle it throughout the season. You know, it seems like a viable strategy to me. If they feel like they want to rest him to save him for later down the stretch, that's a coaching decision. That's a strategy decision. And they should be allowed to make that. I can tell it irks you because LeBron James is getting like this special treatment.
Yeah.
And the Cavs treat it as a trivial matter.
Right.
They're just like, whatever. We'll win another one if we lose this one.
And I'm sorry, I'm going to compare it to Michael Jordan because he's Mr. King James. Michael Jordan never did anything like this, all right? Michael Jordan played as many games as he possibly could. There are multiple seasons where he played all 82 games of the Chicago Bulls season, and he never fretted about, you know, I need to miss a game, or I need to be healthy. No, he was a true champion. He played as many games as he possibly could.
But I mean, it's a strategy.
Strategy.
If the strategy leads to a better position in the playoffs or a more well-rested team, you have to let them do what they want with the schedule, with the players that they have. I mean, I keep going back to football, but I'm thinking about, you know, in terms of how much time he's taking off. In football, if you have a player sit 2 games or 2-3 games, that's like an eighth of the season. So this, to me, wouldn't be an issue until LeBron sits, you know, 8 or 9 games.
But what happens
if it's just a few games, it's, you know, until you start sitting like a serious amount of games, I think you're allowed like that cushion of 8 or 9 games here or there where you can sit them because they have 82 games. So you're looking at like a tenth of them.
What happens later on in the season? Let's say you're jockeying for a position and maybe the Cavs are fighting for a spot between the 4th and 5th seed. And
well,
it comes down to...
I don't think they'll let it get to that point.
But you never know. But let's say it comes down to one game. What are you going to say then?
And that one game was the game that LeBron said.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe. I mean, that's part of the risk that you take,
I just hate the fact that you're not playing...
You're not playing to win.
Yes! All right? I'm going to bring it back to football, all right? People do not remember the lessons of Herm Edwards.
This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. And I don't care if you don't have any wins. You go play to win. When you start telling me it doesn't matter, then retire. Get out. This whole conversation bothers me.
Thank you. This whole conversation bothers me.
All right, but
you play every game to win.
But here's the thing. If this strategy helps them win games down the line, then why shouldn't they take advantage of it?
Because you play today.
Okay, so
you play today to win the game.
So here's the issue.
Thank you, Herm Edwards.
You're mad at LeBron James.
I love Herm Edwards.
Herm Edwards is great. But you're mad at LeBron James, but you should be mad at the NBA for letting this happen. Because I'm going to go back to my initial example of the NFL. That was a big thing in the early 2000s, where teams would sit their starters for the last three games of the season, and people had the same complaint that you have now. So the NFL wisely changed the scheduling procedure so that you have division matchups those last few games, so that you're always playing for a better playoff seed. I think that if teams are abusing this ability to do this, this strategy, then the NBA needs to step in and say, how can we incentivize them to not just take time off willy-nilly? Do they need to decrease the amount of games being played? Do they need to revise the playoff structure so you don't let in 16 of 30 teams.
Yeah, that's a fundamental flaw.
I think really, and I hate to, you know, always say that football has the best system, but football does have the best system. Teams have to play all 16 games. They can't sit games anymore. Teams have to really fight for those six playoff spots in each conference. In the NBA, I don't think there's that same urgency.
No, there's not.
Like, because they could sit LeBron 20 games, and they could sneak in with a sub-500 record and just waltz their way through the playoffs. Because there's so little value placed on each of the 82 games. Like, why do you need 82?
Yeah.
And why do you need to let in more than half the league into the playoffs?
I think that's the fundamental problem.
I think you should be mad at the NBA for letting this happen, letting them devalue the integrity of the game.
Yeah, I think you're right. They're devaluing the prestige of a regular season game.
Yeah, because they treat it as like a trivial matter. Yeah. Like
it's a preseason game.
Yeah, we'll give up this game, we'll win three more down the stretch. And they may be right in that assessment, but as NBA commissioner, you don't want to look at that and say, oh, geez, they can just take off whenever they want. They're just going to abuse our system.
Yeah.
Then fix the system.
Yeah. And I think
that's why the NBA sucks in America.
I think the problem comes down to the playoffs. I think you're right. There's no reason why.
It still boggles my mind that they let in that many teams.
Yeah. Because you don't even need a 500 record. Sub 500 records are the seventh and eighth seeds.
Yeah. Well, more than half the teams make it in.
Yeah.
Think about it. You don't even need to be in the top 10. You don't even need to be, you know, you don't need to be competitive. You don't need to be in the top third of the league. You can just be mediocre. As long as you're the 16th best team, you're in, right?
Well, eighth in each conference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying.
Right.
So maybe they should lessen it to like maybe four teams per conference.
Well,
right. Unfortunately, then you would really get, or okay, maybe, I don't know, what, eight?
Unfortunately, the problem I already know the argument against that is the NBA wants to sell as many games as they can, so chances are they're not going to get rid of games.
Is that why they have seven game series too?
Yeah.
Why does it need to be seven?
Which
that
also
games?
Bothers me too. Yeah, every series is best of seven, which that just drags out the entire NBA playoff season, the NBA postseason, April, May, and June. Like, oh my
god, that's just insane.
When does it end?
I always forget that it's happening.
Yeah,
because it happens like a quarter of the year. It's just insane. Yeah. Like, you shouldn't be playing the playoffs that long.
Yeah, it's a full, like, 3 months.
So, I mean, what's the next best system then? Six teams per conference?
I think they need to reduce the number of teams that make the playoffs, and then the first round should be, like, a best of five. It shouldn't be a best of seven.
Yeah.
I mean, even baseball understands that, like...
Yeah, because they do best of five, don't they?
Yeah, they do best of five. And the wild card is a one-game series, whatever the hell you want to call that.
I don't know why they go from one game to, like, seven games. Like, where's the in-between? You know,
baseball?
Yeah, the wild card is one game, and the World Series is seven.
Well, no, it builds the first round's best of five.
Well, one, and then five, and then seven. Yeah. Where's the three-game series?
They're too good for that.
They're too good
for that. Three's a weird number.
Whatever. But I think the NBA should be best of five.
Yeah, especially for the first round. There's no reason why the first round has to be best of seven.
And they got to get those trash teams out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Is that one seed is just going to steamroll one of those sub 500 teams?
There shouldn't be sub 500 teams making the playoffs.
No.
If anything, that has to be the exception to the rule. Like, okay, maybe once in a while in the NFL.
We get 7-8-1 Panthers. Yeah.
But that's
that doesn't
the
happen every year.
Right. Doesn't happen every year.
Right.
In basketball, it happens every year.
Yeah. I think, are they the only league that lets in more than half the teams?
Because
baseball sure doesn't.
Hockey does.
Hockey does?
Yeah, but.
That's why they're the two least popular sports in America.
Hockey, though, is a different set of scoring standards because they have
the
point system.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's points valued for overtime losses, shootouts, stuff like that.
Whatever. I don't have time for all this. That's why football is the best sport. I'm telling you, they have the best system. It's just very clear cut.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, like, you think football has the best system, but yet they're the ones that still have ties. Baseball doesn't have any ties.
No, I know.
Why is it baseball your best system?
Because baseball sometimes takes too long. Like, it's just like it just drags on, and the pitcher like looks over to first base, like, what are you looking at? Like, just throw the stupid ball. Get on. I always think it's why they always like look over, like, oh, what you doing? Oh, I almost got you. Like, just stop. Just throw the ball.
Trying to get that out.
Yeah, how many times does that work?
Sometimes. It does.
And baseball needs a shorter season, too. 162 games? That's crazy.
It is, except when you have all those ticket sales, because if you have a
up the prices.
Team.
That's what football did. It's like $100 per ticket.
And I haven't been to an Eagles game since I was like 10.
I've never been to an Eagles game.
Yeah.
Cry me a river.
So what the hell? Yeah.
No, I know.
At least the Phillies game I can go to and have
fun.
Yeah,
Phillies games, those tickets are pretty affordable.
Yeah. But NBA, anyway. I think there needs to be a change
or
something.
They got to get their ducks in a row because it's just a mess. That's why it's the worst sport. I think it's the worst sport
out of the
big four.
America.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's and it's stuff like this that pisses me off. It's like
the fact that the teams and you know you're just talking about because it's LeBron, but you know other teams could do it too.
Right, other teams can do this. Yeah,
the what's the phrase? Golden State could do it. They could sit Steph Curry if they want to.
Yeah,
they could lose a few and then win them back. Didn't they win like 70 some games last year?
Yeah, and they lost in the finals.
They lost in the finals. Yeah. So see, if they had sat Steph Curry, maybe they would have won.
I don't think so. You play to win the game.
How do we know? Maybe they should sit him like 4 or 5 games this season.
You know what? This sets a dangerous precedent, and I don't like it.
And that's why the NFL changed it. The NBA should take note. They should change it as well.
Yeah, because
they need to incentivize playing the game.
Yeah. Thank you. And in the meantime, LeBron James, you're still no Michael Jordan. All right?
Until Space Jam 2.
Even then, you're still no Michael Jordan pulling this crap. All right.
Good save.
Yeah, thank you. All right, now let's move on. Let's
to another infuriating topic.
Yeah, we're going to go back to football and recap the Eagles' loss to Seattle. This was a tough one on Sunday. Final score was 26-15. But that made it sound closer than it was. I felt like this was just
it was a disaster.
It
was a disaster.
Full-on
disaster. Up until the fourth quarter, the Eagles had only scored one touchdown.
Woo!
Yeah. And I mean, I know Seattle has that tough defense, but you got to try and stay competitive. You know, you can't just let them do whatever they want to do. And the Seahawks really did whatever they wanted to do.
Yep.
Russell Wilson had a field day. He caught a touchdown pass.
That's how bad it was.
I mean, if that's not the cherry on top, I don't know what is. The quarterback caught, not threw, caught a touchdown pass. That's how bad our corners are. They can't cover quarterbacks.
Yep.
When I watched it, I couldn't believe it. I watched it happen, and I'm going, this is just absurd.
This is so bad.
That's what you said.
It really was. Doug Baldwin had 104 yards on 4 receptions. What are the Eagles D-backs doing? That fucking sucked. Are there any positives in this game?
Yeah.
Take that as a no, I guess.
I mean, maybe the fact that Smallwood could develop into a future starting running back.
I like Smallwood.
He seems to have fulfilled the need for a running back after Matthews and Sproles got hurt in this game.
Yes, Smallwood did a good job filling in, but I mean, in talking about Smallwood, you pointed out one of the big problems is that 2 of our running backs were injured.
Yeah.
The number 1 and the number 2 running backs were injured.
Great.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, you're like, oh yeah, Smallwood did well, but only because we had 2 other running backs go down. So it's like, yeah, you know, it's... Is it really a positive?
Yeah.
The fact that you get to Smallwood by injuring 2 other players. there's a few injuries, though. Ryan Matthews, Darren Sproles, another offensive lineman.
Yep.
And Leotis McKelvin. But he's been horrible. So I'm not really mourning that loss.
Okay.
But we're running out of players.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the long and the short of it is Jason Peters, I don't know if he's going to make it this whole season. We already lost Lane Johnson to the PED thing.
So basically, the Eagles will take anybody right now.
They'll take, yeah. So guys, fill out an application.
No. Here's what you do. You go to Camp Out for Hunger, you donate, and then you jot over to the Lincoln Financial Field.
Yeah,
and
it's right there.
Send in your application.
There you go.
Perfect.
Just knock on the door, at the door to the stadium. Ding dong, there's a doorbell on Lincoln Financial Field.
I have my resume here.
Jeffrey Lurie opens the door in like a robe and slippers.
Hello.
You hand off your resume.
There you go.
But the Eagles are in definite need of some help, particularly in the skill position players. What are the wide receivers doing? I don't know. I mean, I feel like a broken record every single week. The Nelson Aguilar thing. He had 2 big big mistakes this past game. Erased a huge touchdown reception by not lining up on the line.
Great.
Then he let another pass go. I don't know how he managed to do this. He let it get all the way to his chest pads and then still not catch it.
Yep.
Like, it's a crossing route where Carson Wentz is leading you, right? And I don't know if he has trouble tracking the ball, if he doesn't know when to look, if he's not aware of the timing. But by the time he's turning and looking for this ball, it's already at his chest, and he's trying to trap it against his chest pad, and he drops it. And it's like every single play, that's what happens with Nelson Agholor.
I hope Agholor takes time off.
I think he needs to be benched. I think he needs to be benched a week, his head.
They've been talking that Peterson wants him to take some time off. And I hope he does, because there's something just wrong with him.
I mean, I kind of feel – I know we've been ragging on him recently, but I kind of feel bad for the guy, because if you listen to his interview, he's really down on himself. And you know what? I mean, he should be critical because it shows that he cares. But at the same time, I can only imagine, you know, how difficult it must be to have everybody constantly trashing you. At the same time, though – as an NFL player, you have...
You were a first-round pick.
You have to learn how to deal with that. So I don't know how he goes about dealing with that, whether he sits a game out, whether he sees... they're talking about bringing in a sports psychologist, because he says he's getting in his own way. And that may be the case. He may be overthinking it. He might be so worried every time he goes out there and they dial up a pass that goes to him, he's lining up and he's already worrying, what happens if I drop it? What are people going to say? Then he runs his route. He's not thinking about his route. Goes to catch the ball. And he drops it. And that only compounds the problem, right? So I don't know how he fixes that mental barrier. I don't know if he can. I don't know if he's capable of doing it here in Philadelphia.
Yeah, right. Yeah, out of all the towns to do this in, Philadelphia is not the best place.
And you know, it's a shame, because when he was drafted, we drafted him where people said he was going to go. It's not like we reached like Marcus Smith. Everyone said good pick. That's a good pick for that draft position. But in 2 years, we haven't seen it.
Yep.
We haven't seen the value that people are talking about.
And I think his time is coming to an end.
It's coming to an end one way or another.
Yeah.
They're not going to cut him, because I just found out that his cap number is greater if they cut him than if they just sit him.
No, but that doesn't mean that he can't get traded in the offseason.
They could trade him.
You know,
they could.
Get a stupid low-round pick, sure.
Something. And then he goes and he becomes an all-pro somewhere else. You know, that's always my fear with the Eagles players, because you know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But it was just an ugly game. The defense didn't do much. The offense did even less.
It was
not, there's really not much to say.
Well, should we stop looking into the past and start looking towards the future?
Yes, please.
Yeah. I know that'll cheer Mike up. Because what we like to do is give you four games that we think are going to be nice ones to watch, and give you our predictions on them in our fantastic four picks. Yay, fantastic four pick time. Mike, what do you have up first?
All right, first
week
up.
Week 12.
In week 12 of the NFL season, we have a great AFC North battle between two bitter rivals. The Cincinnati Bengals travel to Baltimore to face off against the Ravens. Sunday, 1 o'clock game. The Bengals are struggling at 3-6-1.
Bengals doing more than that.
But the Ravens aren't much better at 5-5, barely tied for first in that awful division. Rich, how do you feel about this one?
The Bengals are done. They are done. They lost in one game. One of their big time running backs.
Yep.
And they lost AJ Green, their star wide receiver. Who else do they have?
I couldn't even tell you. Couldn't tell you.
Maybe they have Tyler Boyd, who might develop into something, but even then, that's a long shot. The Bengals have been choking it all. They've already choked the season away up to this point. Now you're telling me they lost two of their key components of their offense. I see nothing but bad news for this team. I think it could get really bad. Marvin Jones might be fired too by the end of this year. This is pretty bad. So with them having to go on the road and them being this down and out, I think the Ravens win this one easily.
Yeah, you know, this one is really stacked against the Bengals. I agree. You know, first off, it's a division matchup. Those are always tougher, right? The Bengals went 3-6-1 with A.J. Green.
Yeah, with A.J. Green.
With A.J. Green. So now without A.J. Green, what are they going to look like? And taking into account, the Baltimore Ravens have a top five defense. So no A.J. Green. First time playing the Ravens this season on the road against a top five defense. I don't see many ways for the Bengals to pull a win out of this one.
Yep.
It's got to be Ravens.
Yep.
You know,
It's
one of those moments in the Bengals season where they realize like it's going to get bad, like you said.
Yep.
But next up, we have two surprisingly good teams: the Seattle Seahawks at Tampa Bay facing the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers are surprisingly 5-5 this season, but the Seahawks flying high after beating the Eagles. Can they win another one on the road? Rich, how do you feel about this one?
Even though they got to go on the road for this one, I still like Seattle. I think Seattle is probably the only team in the NFC that could probably knock off the Cowboys. So just for my mental sake in not having the Cowboys go deep in the playoffs, I'm going to hype myself around Seattle and hope that they can eventually one day in the postseason knock off the Cowboys. So right now I'm going with Seattle. I think they look good.
Yeah, you know, they start off the season a little shaky, but recently they've beat New England and Philly. So going up against the Bucs, this should be a very winnable game for the Seahawks. That defense is really tough. I know the Bucs have a better-than-average offense this year, but I think the Seahawks are going to put them in their place. I'm going Seahawks on this one. They're hitting that stride like the Seahawks do, you know, near the end of the season. This is going to be a win for them. Next up, we have an AFC West division rivalry. The Kansas City Chiefs are traveling to Denver to play against the Broncos. Both these teams are 7-3 and in a dead heat with the Oakland Raiders for the top spot in the AFC West. This division could come down to this game.
Yeah.
Rich, how do you feel about this one? This is a tough one.
This one is the highlight of Sunday.
Yeah, this is easily the best game. It's a primetime game.
Yeah. But it's probably going to be a highly defensive. Both of these teams have top-rated defenses. So it might be a little bit of a bore fest, a low-scoring game. But with that in mind, I think I'm going to have to go with Kansas City.
Trust Big Red.
Yeah. Everyone, yeah, sit down. I trust Andy Reid on this one. I think they can get the job done. Spencer Ware's back. He's doing pretty good. Even though they lost Jeremy Maclin, the other wide receivers have been stepping up. I would rather trust Andy Reid than what the Broncos are putting out there with Simeon and Booker right now. Devontae Booker. They haven't really been exciting.
Yeah.
So I'm going with Kansas City.
All right. And you know what? Usually I pick Big Red. Old Big Red, Andy Reid. But Denver's at home. They have that crazy good defense. Not to mention, you know, I'm looking at the stats, and they are almost, stat for stat, perfectly even. Except for one key stat. And this is something that people don't really talk about sometimes. Third down conversion allowed. The Chiefs have allowed nearly 50% third down conversions. So that could be a problem on the road against a tough team like the Broncos. So, based solely on that, no, not based solely on that. But I think Denver has a clear edge here playing at home. You know, we ran out of music.
Oh, yeah, it ran out.
You know, playing in that thin air in Denver.
Uh-huh. Thin air and thin air. The music.
Thin air and no music.
There we go, music.
There we go, the music is back. So I'm going with the Broncos
Did
on that
wake
one.
Everybody up?
Everyone's like, oh, what's happening?
Oh, my God.
So there you go. Rich goes Chiefs, I go Broncos.
And the music is starting to get out of here.
Yeah. All right. And our last game, the cough is coming back.
Uh-oh, no.
We have a primetime matchup between the Green Bay Packers and the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles are hosting Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, who are sort of spiraling out of control lately. Rich, how do you feel about this one? Can the Eagles steal one against a sort of rudderless Packers?
Yeah, the Packers are another team that is just in free fall right now. They have no sense of direction. They don't know what they are offensively. It's
looking bad for them, to be quite honest.
Yeah. You know what? This might be one the Eagles can pull off. Plus, it's going to be at home. The Eagles are undefeated at home.
That's right. They are.
Camp out is next week. Wouldn't it be great to start the camp out for hunger with a Monday night win? I like it. Let's go, Eagles.
Yeah, you know what? Even though the Eagles lost a tough one to Seattle, I'm looking at Green Bay. They've lost to, recently, they've lost to Indianapolis, Tennessee, and Washington. Right? Now, normally, these are teams that the Packers should be able to put away. But for whatever reason, the Packers are not getting it done. They're not clicking on offense. Their defense isn't playing up to their standards.
No, the defense is horrible.
I mean, they're really, really struggling. I know the Eagles are struggling, too. But, like you said, at home, maybe the Eagles have a little bit of a wake-up call after playing Seattle. I'm feeling the Eagles for this one. Yeah. I know I was feeling the Eagles last week, but I don't know. I'm hoping they can steal one against the Packers.
All right.
So I'm going Eagles.
Me too. And there you go, folks. That's what we have for you for our fantastic four picks for week number 12 of the NFL season. Yeah, I don't know what happened to the music in the middle of that.
It's just, well, did we just run out of music, probably?
Yeah, I don't know. Or,
oh, well.
Or the music is drunk.
So, not only are you inebriated, but also the technology is inebriated.
Right, we're all drinking.
Oh, what song do I play next?
Yeah, we're all drinking and we're all enjoying this wonderful Thanksgiving weekend.
As you should be too, dear listener.
That's right. But for right now, we're going to take a quick break. But don't go anywhere, because coming up next, we have the entertainment entree, and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. Got some interesting odd news to report. So don't go anywhere. Still more of the Chris Manuel Podcast still to come. We'll be right back.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A 39-year-old Pennsylvania man phoned the Allentown Township Police to report that someone stole his Jell-O from the break room refrigerator at work!
What?! We can't have this. Friends, there's a lot of things in this world that upset and anger all of us, but none of them are as vile as someone stealing another man's Jell-O.
If I can't have my Jell-O safe at work, where else do I go?
It was just the strawberry Jell-O. I didn't even get a chance to eat it. It was so young. I had only bought it that weekend. I loved it so much.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
Lots of whatnot.
Yeah, lots of whatnot. You never know.
Yeah, that's right.
We throw a little rock, throw a little rolling and a little whatnot.
Okay.
You stir it all together, you get the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
There you go. It's a recipe that everyone loves.
That's right. It's funny that we mentioned those three things, because we have three parts of the show: Sports Sampler, the non-fortune cookie odd news, and then this middle portion of the show.
That's right. Very well said. I don't know what that has to do with anything else, but yeah.
Yeah. And we call it the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the entertainment entree.
Hey,
Yes.
I love it. Enter Sandman.
Enter Sandman. Actually by Metallica, but on Classroom Instruments on Jimmy Fallon, the Tonight Show.
I love
it.
I love that segment. It's so cool hearing songs in that new style.
I can't believe they actually got Metallica to do that.
Yeah, I know.
So there you go. Jimmy Fallon.
That was amazing.
Good job, but, Metallica.
Yeah, they did a good job.
I'm surprised that I feel like Metallica is kind of, with Lars and a couple of the bandmates that they this might be something that like they might not have wanted to do.
Yeah,
but it's great.
It totally doesn't fit their image at all.
Right, but they took the edge off and they went forward.
That's what I love about Jimmy Fallon is he always gets these stars to do these weird and wacky things. He's always had a knack for that. Well, now every late night host does that, but Jimmy Fallon was one of the first to start that trend.
Yeah,
of getting them to play along in these weird games and skits. Well, that was fantastic. I didn't know what it was at first. When it was just like the instrumental opening, I was like, what is this? And then like as more and more elements came in, I was like, oh, this is Metallica.
Yeah, it's Enter Sandman on Classroom Instruments. Which, by the way, I think is the kickstart to Metallica's awesome week because their brand new album, Hardwired to Self-Destruct, is already expected to easily top the charts.
Wow.
For their sixth number one album.
Wow, nice.
So
I actually haven't listened to any of it yet.
Yeah, I mean, it literally just came out.
Okay.
So, yeah, you're not behind.
Okay.
It literally just came out.
It's hard to keep track of music news because people just sort of, like, drop these things randomly.
Yeah, I feel
at
like
least for me, it's...
Yeah, I feel like there's not enough, like, bravado when it comes to, like, album releases.
It's not like a movie where you can release trailers and, you know... Like, musicians don't really do interviews a lot of times.
Well, they do at radio stations, but other than that...
Yeah, but who listens to radio anymore?
Hey!
Everybody's listening to cool podcasts like the Crispy Noodle.
Oh, that is... Yeah. Listen to hopefully. The Crispy Noodle. But yeah, if you're a big fan of rock, metal, or Metallica, or anything like that, you've got to check out the new Metallica album, Hardwired to Self-Destruct, came out pretty much this week, November 18th. So yeah, it's... That's just...
Just happened.
Yeah, it just happened. And expected already to be number one on the charts.
Wow.
So that will be their sixth number one album.
They're one of those big names in heavy metal.
Oh, yeah. They're already in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I mean, the list of their accolades go on and on. So,
oh, yeah, definitely.
Obviously. Obviously worth your time. So go ahead,
check it out,
and hey,
go download it from Napster.
And hey, they had enough fun to go on Jimmy Fallon and play with Classroom Instruments. So go ahead, check them out.
What sellouts?
What they sell out for Jimmy Fallon?
Well, yeah, because weren't they always like, oh, you know, like they were like anti sellout, and then they had the whole Napster thing way back when.
Yeah,
they're on Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, they kind of go back and forth.
Yeah. No, I mean, I still like their stuff. It just totally clashes with their image and their brand.
But you know what? You know? Hey, it's good that they're able to...
Well, it's good publicity.
To swing both ways, you know?
It brings in a whole new generation of listeners.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Think about it. A bunch of young metalheads now.
Yes. That's what I want to hear.
So we need more... Yeah.
We need more metalheads.
That's right. Enough Justin Bieber and...
Stop that.
Taylor Swift.
Crap.
And, I don't know, what are other popular musicians? I don't know.
I don't know, but those two piss me off. but now let's
them
move
and
on.
Between them and LeBron James, full of rage.
I hate this culture. I hate LeBron. I hate Justin Bieber. I hate Taylor Swift. I hate the Kardashians.
Oh God, yeah.
They all
Kanye West.
Kanye.
Ugh.
Yeah, go to Canada.
Go to Canada.
All right, let's move on to our next segment here in the Entertainment Entree, and it's time for the bit where Mike tells you things to keep an eye on in movies and video games. Folks, it's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
Do a barrel roll.
All right, do a barrel roll, Mike.
All right, well.
Because you got some news.
I do have some news.
Do a barrel roll.
Yeah, come on, Mike.
All right, well, you can do a barrel roll straight.
The barrel roll, press V or R twice.
Straight into theaters this weekend.
The barrel roll, press V or R twice.
So remember to press Z or R twice.
Yes.
Or you're just going to shoot right past the theater. And you don't want to do that. You do not want to skip this one.
Can't let you do that, Starbucks.
Right,
can't let you do that.
Let you do that, Starbucks.
Having our own conversation.
Yeah, I know. You and Star Fox are just having a moment over there.
Yeah, sorry.
But you don't want to miss this one. I can't let you do that, Star Fox. You have to check this one out. Moana.
No way! I don't believe it!
Moana is opening in theaters this week. It is the latest Disney animated film. It's been getting a lot of great praise so far. It's set on a mythical Polynesian island. And the movie features music by the Hamilton musical star Lin-Manuel Miranda. So you know the music is going to be very, very good. It tells the story of a young girl chosen by the ocean to save her island from an unforeseen danger. On her journey, she teams up with an ancient god, Maui, played by The Rock.
Yay!
Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And their job is to save the day, and she also discovers herself on her travels. This has been getting a lot of great critical praise. It right now has a 100 on Rotten Tomatoes with an 8.1 average rating. And a lot of critics are praising the unique main character, the heroine, and the diverse setting. You don't see a lot of movies, particularly animated films, set in the Oceania, Polynesian island area. So they're praising Disney for their risk-taking, for their unique approach to classic Disney princess stories. So definitely go check out this one, Moana, opening in theaters this week. In the world of video games, Batman the Telltale Series Episode 4 is out. So if you've been following the game, you can download the latest chapter and continue Batman and Bruce Wayne's adventures as they try to defeat the bad guys, corruption, and their own past. I won't say too much in case you want to jump into the series. Now is the perfect time with 4 episodes already out. All you have to do is play catch up before the 5th one releases sometime next month. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike. Thank you for this week in entertainment. Usually we have like a news topic to go into for the last bit of the entertainment entree. But we kind of notice a interesting theme that kept appearing on like Reddit and on message boards and news websites.
Yep.
And that was a lot of really interesting and fun movies celebrated anniversaries in the past week or the past month or so.
Yeah, a lot of big milestones for some big culturally relevant movies here in November, apparently.
Yeah. Should I start this off? Do you want me to start the list off, or do you want to start it off?
You can start it off if you are feeling particularly inclined.
Because in my mind, the biggest one on this list, and I can't believe it's this old, the biggest one on this list, Rocky.
Yeah,
Rocky.
This is a big one.
The first Rocky movie is now 40 years old.
Wow.
That I can't believe that. That's nuts.
Yeah, I can't believe. I mean, well, I wasn't around at the time, but I can't believe time flies like that. That's already 40 years old. This movie is a classic. I think it won 3 Oscars.
And Best Picture.
Including Best Picture.
Yep.
You know, some people might think of it as just a, you know, another dopey sports movie, but it's so much more than that. I mean, it captured the perfect story of an underdog, but also in a unique twist, an underdog who doesn't end up winning. But
spoiler,
well, it's a 40-year-old movie. But you know, I think it's more compelling the fact that he doesn't win because it's not really what it's about. You know, it's about him going the distance, proving something to himself, and you know, proving that he can stand right there with the best of them.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a personal victory story.
Right. The whole point was he wanted to show people he could go to distance.
That's
right. He was a legit fighter.
Yeah, he wasn't just an Italian bum.
Right.
He's the Italian stallion.
Bump. Huh? Nothing but a bum. I love that.
Gotta love.
Yeah, there was like a creepy loan shark too.
Like, I don't remember much. A creepy loan shark.
Yeah, he starts off as a bodyguard for this creepy loan shark guy.
Really?
Yeah.
And, God, I need to rewatch this movie.
Yeah, and there's kind of a. It's funny. It's funny, like, how you look back on movies in the past and, like, oh my gosh, how they got away with stuff. There's a scene where the loan shark's, like, right-hand man doesn't like Rocky and always makes fun of him. And
right.
He hears that he's taking the girl, Adrian, he's taking the girl
right.
out from the pet shop out on a date. And he says something to the tune of, like, I heard she's, like, a retard. You should take her to the zoo. Retards love the zoo. And I'm like,
oh my God. You could never say that nowadays.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah. Look.
I didn't realize that was in the movie.
So.
How much society has changed in 40 years.
Right.
Wow.
Like, I was like, oh my God. Like,
you're
right.
Watching that, you're like, what?
Yeah.
Do a double take, you know?
Right. But, I mean, I don't know where I was going with this.
I don't remember either. I think it was the fact that, you know, you don't realize what movies could get away with back
then.
Yeah. Like the cultural shock of looking back 40 years.
Right. That's what I was trying to point out, how some of these old movies were just like, what the hell?
Well, I mean, you have to remember the era in which it came out. I mean, this is 40 years ago. This was the middle of the 70s.
Yeah.
It's a much different place in our society.
Yeah,
But Rocky was such a big movie at the time. Still is a big movie.
Yeah, I mean it's ingrained in Philadelphia. This is
especially for this area. I mean that is a huge movie.
Yeah, I mean that's like the number one thing where when visitors come to Philadelphia,
where
are the Rocky steps?
The Rocky statue.
We need to go see the Rocky steps.
Yep.
You know,
do they?
I go to the art museum.
They don't have Rocky at the top of the steps though. They have him off to the side.
Right, they have him off to the side now.
Why don't they have him at the top of the steps? Is there a particular reason? I don't remember why.
I'm sure there's probably a news story or reason why. Mm. I don't know off the top of my head. But
yeah, he's off to the side now.
Yeah.
Like at the bottom of the steps.
But everybody loves to run up the steps.
Oh, yeah. Oh, if you go to the art museum, there's always people running up and down the steps and taking pictures.
And now with cell phones, anybody can make their own
running
up the steps video.
Did you ever run up the steps?
Yeah, like
when, I didn't run up the
like
steps.
Like when I was a kid, yeah. Like,
I'm not the running type.
Poor
Mike. I slowly plodded up the steps and looked out and I'm like, eh, this is a pretty good view.
You're the slow version of the Tiger.
Eye of the Tiger. Hold on, let me take a break.
The mouth of the llama.
The mouth of the llama.
That would be
the mouth of llama. It's got fur all around.
No, it's
got
to be slowed down.
Oh, the mouth of the llama. It chews on the grass. All it does is eat hay all day. It's the mouth of the llama. It's drooling out of the side.
But everyone likes to look at the llama.
I don't know why the mouth of the llama is that the first thing that popped into your head. The mouth of the llama.
Yep, that's your
of all the animals.
That's your
that's my
theme.
I love
your theme song.
That's my theme song. The mouth of the llama.
Yeah,
you.
Just, you basically just take Eye of the Tiger and you have to slow it down, and there you go. Mouth of the llama.
Oh my God, the mouth of the llama.
The llama likes to have the food, and when he does, he feels
very good. There you go. It's the mouth of the llama. I love that. Anyway.
There you go. Coming soon.
So Rocky didn't have the mouth of the llama. He had the eye of the tiger.
Right.
Which raises a lot of interesting questions. One, how did he get a tiger's eye?
Yeah.
Because
by the way,
what?
You keep getting this confused.
Why? What?
Eye of the Tiger did not come out in the Rocky franchise until Rocky III.
I didn't bring up Eye of the Tiger the first time. You brought up Mouth of the Llama.
No, but
which was a reference to Eye of the Tiger. Yeah.
But I know a couple times, like, you'll mention, like, oh, yeah, that was in the first movie. No, it's actually not.
It's
not until Rocky III where they play Eye of the Tiger.
They should remake the first Rocky and put Eye of the Tiger in it.
No, it doesn't fit.
Just for me. Yes, just for me, because... As you know...
Oh, wait, just for you?
Yeah, just for me.
Oh, and then we're putting in Mouth of the Llama.
Mouth of the Llama.
Yeah.
Mouth of the Llama. That's going to be stuck in my head now. Yeah, you think Metallica went number one. Just wait until we drop this hot single, Rich.
Yeah, it's going to go all right. Everywhere.
It's going to soar to the top of the Billboard charts.
Yes.
Anyway, but Rocky.
Yes.
Good stuff.
It's one of my favorite franchises. I love pretty much every Rocky movie, including Creed, except for Rocky V.
I never saw Rocky V, so I don't know.
Good, and you're not missing out. You're not missing out on anything. Rocky Balboa should be Rocky V.
I saw Rocky Balboa. I did not enjoy it as much as people
you
said that I was going
son
to.
Son of a bitch.
I thought Creed was a much better movie than Rocky Balboa.
Creed is, yeah, Creed's a great movie.
No, better than Rocky Balboa, though.
I'd say there are, yeah, there, I would not be surprised at that argument. But I don't think you can say Rocky Balboa sucked. I think Rocky Balboa was a great movie.
It was just a very awkward movie. Because he had that like whole subplot with his, wasn't it with his like son? And his son has the quickest 180 in movie history ever. He goes from hating his dad to being like ringside, like, come on, Pops, you can do it. In like the matter of, in a matter of seconds.
Well, what are you going to do?
It's totally unbelievable. It's totally unbelievable.
If your dad was going to fight the fight of his life, you're going to hate him and not go to see it?
No, I mean, you're not going to hate him, but
by
it's,
the way,
it's...
I would like to see Frank Costanzo in
oh
a ring.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Would
he
that
get
be...
destroyed, Rich. Why would you want to see that?
I think maybe he could talk his way out of it and seal a victory.
He would just go in and be like, you know, I've been thinking...
And I've been waiting all week to have a hot dog and a hamburger.
Well, that right there, that knocks them out. Because they hear that and they're like, what?
They come in for the ding, and he says, hold on a minute. I need a hot dog.
Suppose a hot dog out of nowhere.
And I've been waiting all week to have a hot dog and a hamburger. No sausages. No sausages. No sausages. Sausages!
He would talk his way out of it.
Anyway, you're telling me that you want to go support your dad if he wanted to fight?
No, I would support him, but I would do it begrudgingly.
You'd be there.
It's not the fact that he's there. It's the 180 shift in his mindset.
So wait, you'd be there, but you wouldn't root for your dad?
No, I'd root for him. Look, first off, he wouldn't even get there, okay? That, I mean, to me, the plot of Rocky Balboa is a huge stretch. It is.
Well, of course it is. It's a.
But like the Stallone movie. That's what makes the first Rocky great.
Oh,
is
come
that
on.
It is believable. You can relate to the characters. I wasn't able to believe Rocky Balboa. I wasn't able to relate to the characters. It just seemed totally foreign and shoehorned to me.
I think you're high up on your film critic pedestal on this one.
Oh, geez.
I think so.
It wasn't a good movie.
Yeah. All right.
Creed was very good.
Yeah, Creed was good.
Creed was excellent, and the first Rocky was excellent. Mm-hmm.
What about the rest of them? Rocky 2, Rocky 3, Rocky 4?
I don't remember them that well.
All right. Well, Rocky 2 is the rematch. He wins the title.
Right. Rocky 3 was Mr. T.
Right. And Rocky 4 is the rush. Is Drago.
If he dies, he dies. Right?
Right. He has to beat communism.
Yeah, he beats communism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
those ones are good, definitely.
And of course, gives us this wonderful speech.
During this fight, I've seen a lot of changing. If I can change, you can change. Everybody can change.
Such a great inspirational speech. No, the other Rocky movies are good, too.
I don't know how you can't like Rocky IV. That's one of my favorite movies.
He single-handedly beats communism.
Yeah. With a robot.
Forget about Reagan and the Pope. It was Rocky.
Yeah.
It was Rocky.
So anyway, that was the big anniversary that I noticed. But there's a couple of other ones too.
There's some other big anniversaries.
That's pretty big here.
This is the one that jumped out to me because like I can't believe it's already been 10 years. It seems like just yesterday because people didn't stop quoting it until about a few months ago. Borat is 10 years old.
Yes, Borat. Yes.
Borat. Yes, very nice.
Very nice. Oh my God, when that movie came out,
it was
everywhere.
It was, what was it? It was in the middle of high school and everybody.
For us, yeah.
No, everybody was in high school at the same time in the entire world. But no, when it came out, everybody did nothing but quote that movie for about 2 years straight.
Yeah. And that Borat movie is now 10 years old.
10 years, man! 10 years! 10 years! 10! 10 years! 10 years!
Yeah, 10
there you
years.
Go. You have a clip for everything. You probably have a clip for 11 years and 12 years and 13 years. I would not be surprised.
I probably could if I had to, but I really just like that
if
one.
If really pressed, you could probably find it.
Gross Point Blank. I love that movie. But
Borat was huge culturally.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just everywhere. Everybody was quoting it. Everybody had seen the movie. And I think, honestly, in recent memory, it's still one of the best comedies of the past 10 years.
Yeah, but a lot of it was just so unscripted and so raw. You're just like, I can't believe like this is our country.
Right. Well, that's the thing that I think made it work so well is because you're watching and you go, I can't believe, one, they got away with this. And two, that's how things really are in certain parts of the country.
Yeah.
Right? It just blew my mind. And I don't think people give it enough credit. Some, you know, they say Borat and some, you know, older people are like, oh, that's that really raunchy movie. Like, yes, it's that really raunchy movie. But it's a satire. It's satirizing all those sacred cows here in America, right?
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Unfortunately, for most of those unrehearsed bits, we can't really play that on the podcast.
No.
But one of the few sketched parts is one of my favorite bits, and we can play it. And this is about his neighbor. I love Borat's commentary on his neighbor. Here you go.
He is my neighbor. Nursultan Tuliakbai. He is painting my ass. I get a window from a glass, he must get a window from a glass. I get a step, he must get a step. I get a cloak radio, he cannot afford. Great success.
It's amazing how I remember that. I get the cloak radio, he cannot afford.
That's great success.
I still have a very fond memory of that movie, a very special place in my heart for that movie. It was like a revelation watching it.
Yeah,
it was so much fun. What was your favorite scene? I personally love the bear scene where they have the bear in the ice cream truck.
Yeah,
I don't know why, something about it just cracks me up. Where they pull up and the music is going off, and the kids are running up to the ice cream truck, and the bear comes out the window. And they just scream and run away. Something about seeing kids terrified cracks me up. I don't know why. Is that strange?
You just
That's
love
strange.
Seeing kids scared.
I do.
All right, I'll give you my favorite part, and I think we can play this. I'm pretty
all
sure.
Right. Well, let's take a gamble.
Yeah, we'll take a gamble.
Roll the dice.
Yeah, and this is Borat seeking seeking almost a resurrection with a church that he wakes up to.
I have no friends. I am alone in this country. Nobody like me. My only friend Azamat. He take my money and my bear and he leave me alone. Jesus. Not only this, the woman I love, the reason I travel across the country, she have do something terrible on a boat. And now I can never forgive her. Is there anybody who can help me?
Yes. The one that can help you is who we preached about tonight.
Jesus.
Do what Jesus like me.
Absolutely, Jesus loves you.
Do what Jesus... like my sons.
Jesus loves your sons.
Do Jesus love my retired brother Bilo?
He loves your brother Bilo.
Do Jesus love my neighbor Nursultan Tuliakbai?
Yes, he loves everybody.
Nobody loves my neighbor Nursultan Tuliakbai. Can
Oh, I love it. I'm dying over here.
That was, no one he goes to an actual church and starts saying like this stuff.
I mean, that's the great thing about it is that it is so unscripted. Like, he just goes and does these random things. And that's why Sacha Baron Cohen will never be able to do a movie like that again.
Yeah.
He tried Bruno, and I think it didn't work.
No, Bruno didn't work.
The other ones were scripted, though, I think.
What was the other one?
He did The Dictator, that was scripted, I think.
That didn't really take off. That's like lightning in a bottle. You can't do it again.
It really is, because it also hit right before cell phones were, like cell phone, internet-enabled cell phones and cameras were the rage, right? Because if you try and do a movie like that now, think about all the leaks and all the photos that would come out online. It was the perfect time. It was the perfect moment to really have a movie like that work. That's why it was brilliant. I can't believe it's already been 10 years.
Another movie on our list that I think we should mention is personally one of my favorite movies.
Oh, God.
And that is the wonderful, oh yeah, get your 90s ready, Space Jam, the true Space Jam with Michael Jordan, Not this LeBron rumors. Uh-uh.
Well, I'm going to look forward to Space Jam soon.
No, you bastard. There's one true Space Jam.
Would you be offended if I told you I've never seen Space Jam?
You bastard. You sick bastard. How dare you? Were you not a kid in the 90s? What were you doing?
I was watching Jurassic Park.
Oh, you're just watching that on a loop.
Just on a loop. That and Disney films.
Oh, okay.
What is this Space Jam second-rate animation?
Oh. Yeah, this is animation. You should love this.
Yeah, but it's not Disney. It's cheap animation.
What, Looney Tunes? Oh, get off your film pedestal, you high member of society.
Hey, I was watching all the classic Disney films, Aladdin and Lion King and Beauty and the Beast and Little Mermaid and all the classics.
And no Bugs Bunny. How dare you?
No, unfortunately, right. No.
Bugs Bunny and... Oh, my God.
So what made Space Jam so memorable for you as a kid?
I guess the combination of the fact that you had the most popular cartoon show... Yeah. With the most popular athlete.
You were a big Jordan fan too, weren't you?
Yeah. I mean, when I was growing up, like he's the man.
Everybody wanted to be like Mike.
Yeah. I mean, he was so dominant with the Bulls and he revolutionized the game and it's just hard to describe it. He was the man. Like even the year when he decided to take a break and he tried baseball, even then people were still like, "Oh, he's still cool." Like,
yeah.
Imagine like
Tim Tebow tried it. It didn't work out.
Well, not yet. We don't know. He's in the minor leagues. Who knows? You never know. But like that would be like Tom Brady after winning the second Super Bowl. He goes, you know what? I'm going to try playing for the Red Sox. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And like everybody was cool with it. Everyone was just like, yeah.
Yeah.
You can do it.
Like, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
Give it a shot.
And then he comes back and he wins 3 championships.
Like, yeah, that is insane.
It's amazing. Like,
I think that's why in most people's books he'll always be number one.
Yeah.
Like it'll be very very hard to try and make an argument against that.
Yeah. Sorry, LeBron. but Space Jam definitely one of my favorite movies. And guest star Bill Murray's in it.
Oh yeah,
I love that. They randomly have Bill Murray in it. Like, I want to know.
Bill Murray's just everywhere.
Yeah, I want to know how.
Just, I feel like Bill Murray's probably, like, hiding in the background of every movie.
Yeah, we just don't know it.
Yeah, you just don't realize it. I will say, though, the one thing that I did watch of Space Jam, you sent me a video, like a mockumentary of Space Jam, this 30 for 30.
Yeah, they did a fake 30
oh
for 30
God,
on
that cracked
the climactic game.
Yeah, they talked about the line that cracked me up. You guys got to go watch this. But the one guy that they're interviewing, he's talking about how Foghorn Leghorn was burnt to a crisp.
In the cartoon sense. Yeah, it's a cartoon.
Yeah, he's like, he was burned alive on the court.
But the documentary is they treat it like it's a real thing. Yeah,
they're like, they killed him, and his teammates just kept playing.
Keep playing.
Well, hello? Like Herm Edwards says.
Yes, you play to win the game.
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
All right? I don't care if your teammate's dead.
You play to win the game. Right. God, wouldn't that make sports, like, really traumatic? People just dropping dead, and they're just, like, leaping over the corpses.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Bob, no. He would want me to score, though.
Right.
So, Space Jam, another big culturally important movie celebrating an anniversary. But we have one more here on this list. Now, I don't know how culturally relevant this is, but you are a big fan of this series. And you brought to my attention that it is the 50th anniversary for the Adam West Batman movie.
Yeah, the actual movie that they made with Adam West now 50 years old.
This was the first time, this was the first Batman movie, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like the first one ever attempted.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So this, like, spawned an entire movie franchise, really.
Technically, I guess, if you want to count it.
I mean, what else? Because this made Batman a movie mainstay. Because
No, they only made one Batman movie until the Tim Burton Batmans.
Oh, really? There was that big of a gap?
Yeah.
There was nothing in the 70s?
Yeah,
or?
Not live action, no. Uh-uh.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, it was still Batman's first foray into film.
Right. And it was a pretty big deal at the time because not only did you have Adam West and Burt Ward playing Batman and Robin, but you also had the four biggest villains on the TV show all ganging up to try and take down Batman. You had Catwoman, Joker, Penguin, and the Riddler.
Those are good villains.
Yeah, all teaming up to
that's a good collection.
Wreak havoc on, I think it was like the UN or something, and trying to take down Batman.
That's like a really big target for, because Batman villains don't really do anything that big, do they?
They're not
like world domination. They're like,
no, they're not usually a Bond villain. Yeah. No. But it was still
what would the Joker do after taking over the UN? Like what was the end game?
There's no
anarchy?
Yeah, anarchy.
Okay,
all right?
Sure. It was the 60s. They really didn't have a plot figured out.
Right. Yeah. There were too many drugs floating about in the 60s.
You could tell from the theme song itself. It was like a very upbeat, like, weird.
No, Batman. That's it. That's the whole song.
They're like, all right, boys, we need to write some lyrics. Batman, there we go.
Excellent.
That's what it was. They were like thinking, they were like eating something, and that was the lyrics.
Yeah. Here's something else that people were probably on drugs on when they tried to come up with the plot for this movie, and that is the infamous scene where Batman gets attacked by a shark.
Oh my gosh.
And
this is the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah.
Because that happens in the TV show too, doesn't it?
It actually does, yeah.
Why is Batman getting attacked by so many... Gotham is a major metropolitan area. How many sharks are there in Gotham?
Enough to attack Batman.
That would be like if Spider-Man is swinging around and he gets attacked by an alligator or something.
He's in Florida.
He's in Florida, yeah. But, so Batman routinely gets attacked by sharks.
Yeah, and here you go. I just want to play the quick audio of him struggling with a shark. Here we go. I'll take it away.
Holy sardine! Shark repellent bat spray.
Yes, hurry up. Get that shark repellent bat spray.
Oh my gosh. Now you see, people can't see this, but in the scene, I'll have you know that Robin goes to get the shark repellent, and next to it is whale repellent and manta ray repellent.
You're also forgetting barracuda repellent.
Why barracuda?
Just in case one pops up.
Why are those the four things in the ocean that will attack you?
You never know.
Shark, whale, manta ray, and barracuda?
Just in case.
What about swordfish? What about moray eel? What about octopus? What about giant squid?
I'm sure Batman's got plans for those as well.
Do you think Batman has a repellent for every type of animal? Like lion, tiger, bear, oh my? Zebra?
Sure.
Alligator?
It wouldn't surprise me.
It's just, I don't know, something
about
that.
He needs the alligator one to give to Spider-Man.
Yeah, well, of course, yeah. Oh, man. That just cracks me up, though. That is shark repellent.
Yeah, if you want to laugh, if you want to laugh your head off, go check out the original 1966 Batman with Adam West. And to bring this completely in full circle,
okay.
I think I'm ready to blow your mind.
Okay. Yeah. You teased. You're like, oh man, I have a connection that's gonna like blow your mind. So
yeah.
So what is this amazing connection?
The last movie we mentioned, Batman, the 1966 film. The first movie we mentioned, Rocky.
Okay.
Burgess Meredith. Do you remember his name?
Who is that?
Burgess Meredith is the actor who plays the Penguin in the 1966 Batman.
Right.
Who then later plays Mickey in Rocky.
Oh,
how do you like that?
He's the Penguin.
Yep, he was the Penguin then, and then he's Mickey the Trainer in...
See, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
How do you like that?
I thought it was going to be some random background character, but that is a good connection.
Yeah. Come on, Rock!
See here. Yeah, you should be like
he's
the
going
Penguin.
Back and forth.
Yeah. Just pulls out, like, what does Penguin have, like a monocle and a cigar?
Yeah, or the umbrella that
oh, the umbrella,
fire
yeah.
or something.
Rock's like, ooh, why you got an umbrella, Mick? Don't worry about that.
I'm going to light your ass up if you lose this match.
Oh, what a crossover. Yeah. Rocky meets Batman.
Hello, Batman.
Oh,
hello.
Hello, Rocky.
Hello, Italian Stallion.
Yeah, that's a superhero name, Italian Stallion. That was a horse whinny. That was really bad.
That's a good one. I liked it.
Yeah, my turkey is better.
All right, well...
all right, enough animal noises.
There you go. I thought it was...
no, that was a good connection.
I thought it was a good connection and a good way to end our segment here to go over just some interesting movie history that happened.
A lot of big movie birthdays.
Yeah, movie birthdays. I like it.
And remembering the classics.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen any of those movies, you should probably check them out. Those are our favorite movies as well. So there you go. All celebrating a milestone in the past month or so. But for now, that will wrap up the entertainment entree. But we still have one more segment left, and that is the non-fortune cookie odd news. I've got some interesting stories that you need to hear, so stick around. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle, always crunching.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
Two costume characters in New York City's Times Square were arrested on Saturday night. When the two disputed over some name-calling, the New York Post reports that Spider-Man, which is really 35-year-old Abdel Elzeki, allegedly grabbed Batman, which is really 41-year-old Jose Escalante Martinez.
This is Spanish Batman. Ay caramba! Ay caramba! Robin, it's El Joker!
You soy Batman.
Yes.
You soy Batman. Me amo Batman.
Que te vas a hacer pupita.
Instead of a bat tumbler or a batmobile, he's got a bat horse.
A bat horse?
Que te vas a hacer pupita.
That's what happens when he pushes it into hyperdrive. Okay, so wait, what actually happened?
Right,
we got a little off track.
The New York Post reports that Spider-Man allegedly grabbed Batman from behind and said, "I'm gonna F you up, Batman." Spider-Man allegedly then sprayed Batman with the fake webbing that he comes with, which is really a prop silly string. Soon enough, punches were then thrown. Spider-Man got the worst of it as he was reportedly socked in the face and chest.
Ooh. Even with his silly string webbing? Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that didn't really help him.
That Batman was taking steroids is what it was. Nobody can get through silly string webbing.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You got to go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for Tura!
Yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler, the entertainment entree. Hope you're not too full yet.
I think I got some room left for dessert.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I hope that's what you're also saying at Thanksgiving.
That's right.
We got one more special dish that we have left for you here on the podcast. Mike, what is it?
Oh, man, it's as sweet as pumpkin pie. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandada bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part.
Back,
never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Woo! odd news.
That's right, everybody. I hope you're ready for a second slice of pie, because here in the non-fortune cookie odd news, we got some sweet, awesome stuff to get to. For those of you that might not be familiar with the segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds these wacky stories and he keeps them hidden away from my prying eyes, so I've never seen them before. All my reactions are my gut reactions, my genuine reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. You guys don't know what's about to happen. I don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen, because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. And I'm ready to get started.
All right. Should we launch right into our first story here?
Let's do it. Let's launch.
All right. Going to South Africa in this story here.
Okay. I don't know if we've ever been to South Africa.
Yeah, I don't know either. But this story is not a reason why you would want to be known in South Africa.
Oh, boy.
A 28-year-old South African man endured a rare case of penile strangulation.
What?
After he tried to squeeze his wedding ring around his sex organs for erotic reasons.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Why?
I mean, rings, I don't know. Rings are kind of like small.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
Now,
it seems like it would be painful.
Of course, for those that know, or for those that don't know, there are sexual rings where they're used to hold blood in the penis to heighten sexual response.
You're having a real tough time reading that paragraph, aren't you? You're like, there's rings, and it goes over
there's graphic
use.
Oh,
it's really graphic.
Yeah,
I have
to try and tame it. The point is, there are rings that are used for sexual pleasures.
You put it on your penis.
But not your actual wedding ring to be used as a substitute ring for this matter.
I know it's something to do with sex.
I'm looking at my fingers. Rings, they're not that big. I don't understand. Like look at a ring, and it doesn't. It doesn't seem like it would work.
No, and this
you're just no,
and this did not work. The ring caused the man's penis to swell up so much that he was unable to remove it.
Oh no.
And his penis turned blue.
Oh.
That's not a good sign.
No, no.
Mr. Happy should not be turning blue.
No, he should not.
That's not good.
Mr. Happy is sad.
Yeah. Very sad.
Oh.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day!
Like, I can... It's funny imagining what's going on in his mind. Like, he's looking down, he's going, oh, boy. This is not good. Yeah, like, who do you tell? You're like, well, you know, I put my wedding ring on my, you know, and now it's blue. I need help.
Well, guess who he decided to tell?
Who'd he tell?
He decided to tell his own mother, who had to drive him to a local hospital.
Mom?
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
How do you explain that one?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Wait, he has a wedding ring. Where's his wife in all this?
I don't know, but I guess
why is
not there.
He like? I don't know.
At first, doctors
this is bad.
Yeah, at first, doctors tried to cut the ring off with a surgical saw.
Oh my god, that's scary.
Which, yeah, that's scary enough.
You have such a slim margin for error there. You know, like one false move.
Yeah. But the attempt failed because the swelling made it difficult to get close to the ring without causing further injury.
Oh my gosh.
That was a failure. Doctors then decided to make multiple puncture aspirations with a syringe and a pink needle, which reduced the swelling. So,
oh my god, that's awful.
Yeah.
They drained it, is what you're saying.
They had to drain the blood out of it. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
You're going to be okay. Say the goddamn words. You're going to be okay.
Oh, God.
Say the goddamn f***ing words.
Yeah.
It's actual audio.
It's actual audio from the operating room.
Oh, my gosh.
Luckily, though, that did the trick. The patient was then given antibiotics and painkillers.
And a larger ring.
Yeah. The medical journal also noted that the best method is the one with a successful outcome because no proper guidelines exist for this kind of condition. So this was obviously new ground we were breaking in the medical field.
So really, he's a trailblazer.
Yeah.
he invented an entire new field of medicine.
Right. How to get a ring off of your...
penis.
Yeah. Mr. Happy.
Mr. Happy. Mr. Happy is Mr. Sad now.
Yeah, but it seems he made it out okay, so at least... It could have been worse with the saw.
Oh, my gosh.
That could be bad.
You're going to be okay. Say the goddamn words. You're going to be okay.
Oh, God.
Say the goddamn f***ing words.
Ugh. It's just so uncomfortable to think about.
Yeah. And also not a reason why you want to be known in your South African town.
Hey, that's the guy that put his penis in a wedding ring. He's like a celebrity.
Yeah.
It's sort of like a humble brag, you know, like, oh, it was just so big. You know, got it stuck. That's what happens when you got a huge schlong.
But a wedding ring isn't that big.
Yeah, I know. Well, that was my original point. It's like, I don't know why he's like looking at his wedding ring like, that'll work. He had nothing.
He probably has a micro penis.
No, but yeah. I still don't understand the mechanics of how he could even get that on.
Yeah.
Like, unless he has, yeah, you know, a little tiny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
We resorted to... jokes about
yeah let's move on. Yeah, let's move on. I know I brought you down in the entertainment entree.
Yeah.
From your high film critic pedestal. Now yeah, I'm dragging
I've,
you to
I've,
the
I've been dragged down into the muck.
Yeah. Let's move on to the next story here. Going to Baltimore.
Okay.
And it's not me. I was not in Baltimore during this story.
Uh-oh. One of these days.
Yeah, one of these days.
One of these days, one of us is going to be the subject of odd news.
Yeah. But I guess you can say in this Baltimore story that this man is a pizza work. Because...
Oh, boy, what a play on words. That was good.
Yeah.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day!
Baltimore County Police are looking for a man who decided to break into a pizza restaurant. And then while he was robbing the joint, he got naked.
Of course.
Sure.
In the middle of robbing it.
Yeah.
Like, I can't rob this place with all these clothes on.
Yeah.
Ugh. I gotta take off some layers.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
Now that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
No, because we've had odd news stories where people get naked beforehand.
Yeah.
The stories where they get naked afterhand. Afterhand.
A new word.
I don't think that's a word. Yeah, afterhand. But I've never heard of stories where people get naked during hand.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
That's a good point you make. There should be beforehand, during hand, and afterhand.
I'm going to look it up afterhand.
I don't think it's a word. But
it is a word.
It is?
It is a word. Afterhand.
Wow.
That doesn't sound right.
That doesn't say, yeah.
Afterwards, subsequently, after the event. Oh, it's Scottish, U.S.
Oh, you're in a weird dictionary.
Afterhand. I'm going to look up during hand. I don't think that's going to be a word either.
Yeah.
I'm making it a thing. Anyway, so he got naked because he couldn't rob with all the clothes on.
Yeah. So here's what happened.
Okay.
The robber was clothed when he entered Slice Pizza through an air vent.
What was the place's name?
Slice Pizza.
Just Slice Pizza?
That's the name of the joint here.
Like the word slice and then the word pizza.
Yeah.
There's no of?
No. Slice Pizza.
Just Slice Pizza.
It's almost like the guy's name is Slice.
Maybe it is. Who knows?
Yeah.
Slice Pizza.
Also, by the way, you know, he says in the story that he went through the air vent.
Right.
Like, what is he like? Is this,
oh,
like, is this Mission Impossible over here?
Or don't you mean Mission Impeachable? Mission Impeachable.
Yeah, sure.
No?
There you go. It's better than my pizza work.
Pizza
line.
Work. Oh, it's better than the name of the restaurant, Slice Pizza.
Yeah.
What is that? I'm going to open up a hamburger store that's called Patty Burger. You know, it's just, it's dumb. There's no creativity to it. Slice Pizza.
So, he was clothed when he got through the air vent.
Why wouldn't you get naked before going in the air vent? It might make things easier.
He then roped down,
so it was
prepared.
It was Mission Impeachable.
Yeah. But that's when he got to the floor and stripped naked.
I don't... Why? There's no reason. He's like, oh, finally, I broke in. I can take this off. And he just tears off his shirt.
Yeah. Surveillance video caught the burglar with his pants down.
Ha, ha, ha.
The naked thief also managed to damage another vent hood and several registers in the theft. But he did not take any pizza or any dough. He only took the money and one water bottle.
Wow, that's hard work. He needs to stay hydrated.
It's definitely hard being a secret agent.
Being a naked criminal.
Yeah.
But what was the point of taking off the clothes?
Yeah,
like, what is the thought process? Like, oh, I broke in. Now I'm going to take my clothes off. Maybe he's just an exhibitionist, but there's nobody to see him.
Right.
There's no practical reason. Like, if you take the clothes off before you get in the vent, you can grease yourself up and just, like, slide down. Right? Okay. I'm just saying. If you take your clothes off after you steal the stuff, you can say that you're making yourself more aerodynamic. You know, you'd completely shave beforehand, so now you're gonna fly home. But taking your clothes off in the middle of a robbery.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, totally.
It doesn't help you rob faster. It doesn't...
It makes you more aerodynamic.
It makes it harder. Where do you put the money?
Yeah.
Don't you put the money in your... He put it up his butt. He put a slice of pizza up his butt.
Well, anyway, Yanni Rizaz...
Did he leave his clothes behind?
Yanni Rizaz, who owns Slice Pizza, admits that he did a double take when he came to the restaurant a couple hours after the break-in. He said that seeing the footage was weird, knowing that somebody was naked running around the store. All the staff laughed because this is something that doesn't happen every day. Police are asking for help in finding the thief. And in addition, Yanni has said that any information that nabs the naked robber will be given a lifetime of pizza.
Wow.
So
that is a good deal.
So my Baltimore friends, if you happen to know who...
If you happen to live around Slice Pizza.
Yeah, if you know where Slice Pizza is and you know who this guy is, claim your free lifetime of pizza.
That's, oh man, that would be great, wouldn't it?
I know. Wouldn't that be great? You just stroll in, I'd like my pizza, please.
And they just have to give it to you.
And they have to give it to you. Yeah, you sold me lifetime of pizza.
Now, what is a lifetime of pizza? Is there a limit on it, or can I go in every day?
It should be. You go in every day.
I just get a pizza every single day. I want to live on pizza. You never have to pay for groceries again.
Exactly. You said lifetime pizza for pizza. Everything. That is what you said.
I like that deal. I think I'm going to move to Baltimore and catch this guy.
I think I would follow the rules of Bagel Bites.
You can give them pizza whenever they want. Pizza in the morning, pizza in the evening, pizza at supper time. When pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime. Pizza bagel.
Yeah, yes! So I would eat it all the time.
I love it. I love it. Man, I can't remember the last time I had a Bagel Bite.
Oh, you should change
that. They're so good.
You should change that, man.
Oh, man. I'm going to go buy Bagel Bites.
Go ahead.
I might. CVS is 24 hours. I'm going to go buy Bagel Bites after the show.
Sure.
I'll
go with you.
Hey, we can have pizza. We can have Bagel Bites anytime, right?
That's right.
Pizza anytime with Bagel Bites, whatever the jingle was.
That's what the song says.
You can give them pizza whenever they want. Pizza in the morning, pizza in the evening, pizza at supper time. When pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime. Pizza bagel.
Yeah, are Bagel Bites still a thing? I haven't seen a commercial for them in a long time.
I think they are. I've seen them in the grocery store.
Yeah, they have a website.
Order them online.
How many? Oh, man.
Do it now.
I am. I'm going to let's see. Oh, they have tons of Bagel Bites.
See?
I'm looking at their products. They have breakfast. Did you know they have breakfast Bagel Bites?
Oh.
They have bacon, sausage, and cheese. Dude, bacon, egg, God. And cheese. Oh, man. Anyway,
yeah, you're making me hungry.
Yeah, I know, right?
Let's get to our next story here. Going to Ohio.
Good old Ohio.
Yeah.
Home of Cleveland, the worst city in America.
Well, Ohio, this woman must really love nachos.
Okay.
An Ohio woman was arrested in a prostitution sting.
Ah.
After she told an undercover cop that her price for some oral sex was $50 and a plate of nachos.
I don't think that's not bad, right?
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
$50 in nachos?
Yeah.
That's reasonable.
Also, by the way, this town that this is in,
yeah,
is Beaver County.
Oh, of course.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
So, as detailed in a Beaver Police Department report.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
The Beaver Police.
Yeah, that's right. They're the Beaver Police.
Nice beaver.
Yeah, it's true. That's their name, the Beaver Police.
That's why it's a prostitution sting. They're policing
beavers.
Nice
beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
In the report, an officer contacted 36-year-old Crystal Hotlutz. What a name.
Crystal Hotlutz?
Yeah.
All right, then.
After they
That's
spotted...
That's such a bad last name. They could have come up with anything else.
Right. After spotting her Backpage.com ad offering, quote, paid companionship, records show that the 5'8", 270-pound hot locks...
Oh, my gosh.
Frequently advertises her escort services online and describes herself as a, quote, BBW goddess, which is obviously big, beautiful woman.
Yeah.
And she wrote in the byline that, quote, I'm thicker than a snicker.
What? I'm thicker than a snicker. Oh, my God.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Now we're talking, baby.
Well, I think I know how she got that way. It might be the fact that she's getting paid in nachos.
I just love
thicker
that line.
Thicker than a Snicker.
I'm thicker than a Snicker.
What's that even mean?
Snickers. Like,
yeah, I know it means Snickers, but thicker than a... I don't know.
I'm thicker than a Snicker, man.
Well, you got to give her props for creativity.
Yeah.
She definitely gets an A for creativity.
I wouldn't even charge her. I'd let her go on that one. I'm thicker than a Snicker.
The cop's like, I had a good laugh and a better blowjob, so you're free to go.
Yeah. In reply to the undercover cop's initial text, Hotlux quoted an hourly rate of $160 originally, but after negotiation, she altered her demands and said that, you know what, honey, I will go down to a price of $50 in nachos.
Man, that cop is good at bargaining.
Yeah.
He could have got her down to a pack of gum and some nachos.
Yeah, get this guy into a hostage situation as the negotiator.
He got $110 knocked off. You said $150 or $160?
Her original rate was $160 and then knocked it down to $50 in nachos.
Man.
This guy's good.
This guy is good.
Hotlox subsequently met the cop Monday night in the parking lot of a Mexican restaurant in in good old Beaver Township.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
I love the fact that it's at the Mexican restaurant so he can get her nachos right away.
Right then and there. Good job.
Oh, my God.
After
Did the cop show, please say he showed up with nachos.
After entering the undercover vehicle, Hotlox then asked, where's your money and the nachos? That's when the cop pulled out cash and nachos.
Wow.
So, yeah, you have to go there all the way. Yeah, you have to prove that that's a transaction.
That's right.
After she took it, that's when Hotlox was arrested for solicitation.
Oh, did she at least get to eat the nachos?
I don't think so.
That's just cruel.
I think once you take it, then it's a crime. Sorry. No,
they should have at least let her eat the nachos.
No nachos for you.
The cops put her in the back of the car and just stood there and ate the nachos in front of her.
No nachos for you.
Oh.
Hotlox was booked into the county jail where she remains on a $1,700 bond.
That's sad.
So, yeah, sad story. She did not get her nachos.
Oh, that is really sad. That's really sad.
No nachos for you.
It also makes you wonder how many tricks she turned for food.
Yeah.
Like, is each day different? Like, one day's like nachos. The next day it's like, oh, I have a feeling for, I feel like burgers.
I know what one day is.
Can give them pizza whenever they want. Pizza in the morning, pizza in the evening, pizza at supper time. When pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime. Pizza bagel.
Bagel bites! The official...
currency for hookers.
Yes.
They're perfect. They're portable. You can warm them up in a microwave.
And hookers love them.
And hookers, they just go crazy for them.
For some good old-fashioned pizza, bagel bites.
Oh, the hooker's like, I'll blow you for $20 and some bagel bites.
How many bagel bites you want? I want 9. No, I need 1.
Oh, yeah, you got to share. Yeah. Sharing is caring. Come on. All right,
yeah.
Don't be greedy.
All right. I need some over here.
Can give them pizza whenever they want. Pizza in the morning, pizza in the evening, pizza at supper time. When pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime. Pizza bagel.
You know, it's funny. I didn't see that on the Bagel Bites website, the fact that you can... use them for hooker exchanges.
I don't think they promote that.
No, that's like one of those secret things.
Yeah.
They don't openly promote, but they're aware it goes on. So I just picture some guy carrying out bagel bites in a baggie.
All right. Let's get to our next batch of stories. It's time for some Florida stories.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
All right, this one's a quick one, but funny to imagine. A woman from Fort Pierce, Florida, is accused of choking a police officer with her underwear.
Well, okay. Kinky.
I'm surprised that's even, like, that strong enough.
Well, I mean, I guess it depends what it's made out of. I mean, I guess you could strangle somebody with anything if you really set your heart to it.
The incident happened Sunday night at Lawnwood Hospital. The officers said that 21-year-old Angel Muleta... stood behind him and threw her undergarment over his head. The officer just treated it like it was no problem, but that was when Angel slid the undergarment around his neck and started to pull.
Oh, my gosh.
Luckily, the officer was able to rip the undergarment and confront Metella. Police said Metella continued to resist arrest as officers then tried to put her in handcuffs and take her away. And here comes the most random bit of news ever. Police said that she ran during the time that she ran away from the cops. She scooped up a random rubber glove from the ground and ate it.
What? What? Why? Why? Is she like, oh no, I'm running low on energy. I need to eat something.
Ah, glove.
So she finds a glove and eats it. That makes no sense.
I know.
And it's so gross, too.
Yeah.
Not only has somebody's hand been in that glove, but it's also been on the floor.
On the ground of outside of a hospital.
That's gross.
Yeah.
How do you eat a glove?
Yeah.
I mean,
rubber? What?
Yeah.
How do you chew on that?
Oh, it's not as good as bagel bites.
No.
Nowhere near as good. Also, though, I want to point out, how did she get her underwear off without anybody noticing? Well, like, she was in the process of being arrested, right?
Well, no, not before she went to choke the police officer.
Well, why did she probably choke the police officer then?
I don't know. Beats
me. She's like, there's a cop. I'm going to choke him.
I think it'll be funny.
I think it'll be funny.
Look, the woman is eating a rubber glove from the ground. She has no sense of logic.
True.
All right? There's no logic in this story.
That's true. Yeah, what preceded this? I would love to know why she tried to strangle a cop with her underwear.
Hospital workers then had to remove bits of the glove from her mouth upon arrest. Muleta is facing charges of aggravated battery on an officer and resisting arrest without violence.
What? So, no, there was violence. She tried to strangle someone.
Well, I guess they're giving her the benefit of the doubt because it's underwear.
What?
I don't know.
Oh, it's only underwear. That wasn't violent.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense.
I don't know.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah.
People be crazy.
Florida.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Let's go to this story. I've been... this is one story. I just laughed out loud when this came across my feed.
Okay.
According to Action News Jacksonville...
Okay.
Florida
one?
Yep. A man came into a Jacksonville Toyota dealership claiming that he was, quote, Satan who was damned by Jesus and threatened that he was going to shoot people unless he was given a free Toyota out of the dealership.
Are you serious? I'm a f***ing demon.
I'm a f***ing demon, all right?
Oh, man. That's awesome. Why does Satan need a Toyota?
Yeah, why specifically a Toyota?
You can aim a little higher.
Yeah, you could have stopped at an Audi dealership.
Yeah, like a nice red like sports car. No, a Toyota.
Yeah.
Are you serious? I'm a f***ing demon.
Action News.
Probably got a base model Corolla, too.
Action News Jacksonville reports that a desk employee immediately thought something was off when the man came into the dealership and announced that, quote, I am Satan, who was damned by Jesus.
Yeah, I'd think something was off, too.
Yeah.
I wonder what gave it away. The fact that he proclaimed to be Satan?
Claudie Pearson, who's the co-owner of the dealership, told Action News that the man walked back to meet with one of the sales associates and a manager. That's when the man then said that he had a gun and he was gonna continue on his threats if he was not given a car immediately. The man also told one salesperson that the gay salespeople are going first.
What?
So I guess
he can tell.
I guess he has gaydar too.
Well, Satan always has gaydar.
Oh, okay. I was not.
Satan
has
very heightened gaydar, of course. Yeah.
Okay, I was not aware.
Yeah. Because that's one of Satan's superpowers. I don't...
Dealership staff immediately called 911 and locked themselves in a back room to wait for police to arrive.
Locked doors aren't going to stop Satan.
Are you serious? I'm a f***ing demon.
Oh, so what happened to Satan?
When the police arrived, they discovered that the man was not armed and took him into custody to be mentally evaluated. Authorities say that this is the fourth time this individual needed a mental evaluation this month.
Oh my gosh.
Wow, yeah, something's wrong with this guy.
Why do you keep letting him go?
Yeah.
Somebody comes in like, I'm Satan, I'm going to kill all the gay people. You don't let that person go.
No.
Come on.
Fourth time he needed a mental evaluation this month. Yeah.
I want to know if he sticks to the same story.
I think he needs to stay in the hospital.
No, but I want to know if he sticks to the same story or is he somebody different every time? Like one time he's Satan, one time he's the Easter Bunny, one time he's somebody else.
Well, the police also noted that when he was taken into the mental hospital, he said, quote, go ahead and take me. I'm the devil. Jesus Christ and God will bail me out.
No,
but that doesn't make any sense.
I don't think it works that way.
Yeah, why would
God's like, oh, Satan?
He's up to his usual tricks.
Yeah,
trying to get that free Toyota.
Are you serious? I'm a f***ing demon.
I love how Toyota is the car of choice of Satan.
Yeah, I did not know that.
They should put that on their website.
Yeah. Well,
out of one Satan's preferred preferred Toyotas.
The dealership is back in business, and all is well. So nobody got hurt. So good.
Well, that's good job. That's good. They avoided the wrath of Satan.
Yeah.
That's just, I wouldn't love to be there, but I think it's hilarious. These people just stroll into these places. So we get stories like this occasionally where they're like, I'm God or I'm Satan or I'm Santa Claus or whatever, you know? And this guy's done this multiple times, apparently. He's been in and out of this mental place four times, they said.
Are you serious? I'm a f***ing demon.
All right, and ready for one more Florida story to end the night on?
Let's do it.
Now, who is this f- guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
All right, people have been saying that this is the most Florida-like odd news story ever.
We'll be the judge of that.
Yeah, we'll be the judge of that.
This is what, 4 years in this podcast?
We're the Florida news experts
here. Yeah, we know what we're talking about here.
But let's listen.
All right.
According to court complaints, Columbus Henderson, who is a 45-year-old, 350-pound man, tried to flee from a Walmart supercenter in Fort Lauderdale.
It already sounds pretty Florida.
With a pair of 40-inch flat-screen televisions.
How?
All right, first off.
How is he holding these?
Yeah, first off, the man is 45 years old and he's 350 pounds, so he's not running very fast.
He's just booking it, carrying these two big-ass TVs.
All right, this is like an offensive lineman past his prime trying to break out of a Walmart supercenter.
He's waddle jogging down the parking lot with these TVs.
Yeah, he's got a pair of them.
Oh, my gosh.
Henderson bolted with the merchandise after he allowed a cashier to scan the items valued at $298.
Those are kind of cheap TVs. 240 inches for under 300?
Yeah. Or are they one each, 298 each?
Oh, maybe.
Maybe that's it. That sounds more reasonable.
I was going to say, that's a good deal for a 40-inch TV.
Yeah. I think it's $298
okay.
each.
Okay. Anyway.
Anyway. Oh, by the way, in the police report, it says as he scooted through the parking lot.
Scooted.
Yeah, he didn't run.
He's just shuffling.
He did not run.
The employees are walking next to him like, sir, please put down the TVs.
The man is 350 pounds. There's no way.
He's carrying 240-inch TVs. Let's not forget that part, too.
I got a job following fat people around with a tuba.
Stop it! Cut it out! I have a glandular problem.
Yeah, so I think that's pretty much what happened. Maybe Stewie was behind him.
That's what it was.
Well, as he scooted through the parking lot...
I got a job following fat people around with a tuba.
Stop it! Cut it out! I have a glandular problem.
The 45-year-old Henderson's pants fell off...
Oh, come on.
...as he ran away.
God, put a belt on.
It appears that after Henderson's pants fell to his ankles... He then ran right out of the pants.
Just leave them.
Yeah.
I'll buy new pants.
And guess what?
What?
In the pants contained his driver's license and medical identification.
Oh, boy.
Like, pretty much everything that you would need to know.
Yep.
His blood, medical identification, blood
they,
type,
they
everything.
Got him. They got him. They got
him. Yep.
Oh, man. That's great.
In addition, the entire incident was also captured on surveillance video.
Of course it was. Oh, man. They probably saved that. They burned copies for all the employees. That's great.
It took cops about a week to catch up with Henderson, who was nabbed Tuesday morning for grand theft.
How did he get away for a week? That's crazy.
Upon arrival at the county jail, Henderson informed officers that, hey... By the way, I have a crack pipe.
Why? Why would I? Well, I guess it's going to get found one way or the other. Did he mean like on his person at the time?
When officers removed him from the vehicle, the defendant had removed the crack pipe, quote, from his anus and dropped it on the ground.
Hoo-ah! Oh, man. All right. You know what? I think the critics are right. I think this might be the most Florida story ever. I think it's checked all the boxes.
Yeah. It's got the crack pipe up the
crack
butt.
Crack pipe up the butt. Weird criminal escape.
Dumb way to get caught.
The fact that he stole two 40-inch TVs. Why do you need two 40-inch TVs?
Yeah.
Like, there's no... The fact that he left his identification. The fact that he robbed a Walmart. I mean, it just keeps on, like, multiplying.
The glass pipe was then recovered by officers who reported that it was stuffed with drug paraphernalia. He is now locked up in lieu of a $2,000 bond, and he has previous busts for aggravated battery, robbery, theft, and possession of drug paraphernalia. So I don't think the judge is going to be lenient on him.
No.
So
there you go. He's definitely a Florida all-star.
Yeah, right? I think that's...
I think he checked most of the boxes. Well, yeah, because he lost his pants. So he got naked, too.
He got naked. Yeah, there you go. I think you're right. I mean... He checked off all the boxes.
It's hard to tell. Was he inebriated at the time in any way?
He doesn't say in the report.
He had to have been, though, right? We can just assume he's in Florida. He's inebriated.
Something has to be wrong with him.
Yeah. You cross that state line, and it's like, boom, instantly drunk or high.
There you go.
Everybody in Florida.
Just like Thanksgiving.
Just like, yeah, exactly. you get to your relative's home on Thanksgiving, instantly drunk.
Sounds like a plan to me.
Rich is like, oh, you have to wait until you get to the relative's home? I started before.
And there you go, folks. That's what we have for you in the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. But now let's move on to recap the show in our segment, What Have We Learned in This Episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast?
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned on this episode?
I learned that I think we found the most Florida news story ever.
That's what they say.
I mean, this guy checked all the boxes. He tried to steal something stupid. He lost his pants. He had drugs up his butt. He got caught in a stupid way. There's really not much else that he needs to do there.
I think he got it.
He was at a Walmart. I mean, you can't get much more Florida than that, right?
I think so.
Oh, boy. So that's definitely a milestone for us. The most Florida story ever. I also learned that Satan prefers Toyota.
Yeah, who would have thought?
Yeah. Well, you know what? The safety and, the low prices, they really... interest Satan.
Okay.
Yeah, they're top selling points for whatever. What is Satan? A demon? A fallen angel?
Fallen angel, yeah.
I don't know what he is. He's a bad guy. He's red. He's got horns.
Like a Toyota.
Like a Toyota, yeah. Toyota should use that in their advertising.
Yeah, there you go.
We also learned of another company that should change their advertising strategy. Bagel Bites apparently is the perfect currency for hookers.
Perfect.
Yeah, you just stick a couple in a baggie. Take them to your next meetup. All hookers love them.
Make sure they're nice and warm.
That's right. That's right.
There you go.
Perfect. The ladies will go crazy.
You can have pizza anytime.
Anytime. That's right.
Anytime, ladies.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they're just lining up around the block. Anytime. Can I interest you in my bagel bites? They got some sausage on them. Like, oh, anyway. I also learned that after hand and during hand should be words.
They should be.
You have beforehand.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Before, during, and after hand.
I think we need to work together as a society to make sure all the hands are represented.
There you go.
Before, during, and after.
Yep.
Let's make it happen. And finally, I learned about, some people, they have the eye of the tiger, but not me. No.
Mike has his own.
That's right. My very own special theme song, The Mouth of the Llama.
Yeah. An inspirational tune.
So inspirational. Especially the part where you sing it real slow and like drowsy.
Yeah.
It's the mouth of the llama. I love it. It's perfect.
There you go, folks. That's what we've learned in this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm f***ed if I know what we did.
Woo! Good episode.
It really was.
Good to have you back at 100%. Close to 100%.
Yeah, it was great to be back to close to 100%. You know, I'm laughing.
We're back singing.
Doing voices and singing. This is what I've been waiting for 5 weeks.
Yeah.
It feels good to be able to scream again. I'm going to lose my voice from doing that.
Yeah. But thank you for tuning in to the Crispy Noodle Podcast for this week. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you're interested in more, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find video noodles, interviews, best bits, and a whole lot more. So make sure to subscribe to the channel on YouTube. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. You get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday morning. Listen to us on the go, at work, at home, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Just search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.
That's right, and we also have a SoundCloud page where you have the best bits of the Crispy Noodle Podcast in the form of mini noodles. We take the best bits of the show and shrink them down to a 1 to 2 minute promo that you can use to share with your friends, your family. Hey, why not? If you're listening to this during Thanksgiving, check it out, the mini noodles on our SoundCloud page.
That's right. Oh, but if so many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast, but if you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I'm at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters. Let us know how your Thanksgiving's going.
Send us your crazy Thanksgiving stories.
Yeah.
If you have any.
Sure, why not? This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Good show, Mike.
Good show.
Hope you have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, eat lots of turkey and pumpkin pie.
That's right. That's what you do.
That's right.
And football.
Yes. And alcohol.
Yes. I will toast to that and alcohol. Excellent.
You'll toast to toasting with alcohol.
Yes.
There you go.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Gobble, gobble.
Yeah, there you go. Mike does it better than I do. All right, that'll do it for us. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys
later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
What's the deal with the podcast? What's going on? It's just crazy. It's wild. It's the Crispy Noodle 2016. Oh my gosh.